Christmas will look different for all of us this year. That's why we are delighted to be working with the Church of England on the first ever National Christingle. It will be streamed live on Facebook and YouTube on the 13th of December, bringing people together from across the country to share the light of Christingle. Make sure you register your interest in attending the National Christingle event.
Yo, Reese. Yo, come here, man. Say hi, bro. Are you good? How's your mum? Is she good?
Yeah, she's alright. She's alright.
You want to do me a favour?
You might have to ask someone else.
There is no one else. We've been looking after you, innit? Drop the package off. Come back down. No one's gonna stop you, man.
You got it, yeah?
Yeah.
Hands up the barrier! Hands up the barrier!
Hope is under threat. The Children's Society's one-to-one support helps young people facing abuse, neglect, and criminal exploitation. Donate today to help keep a child's hope alive this Christmas.
Christmas will look different for all of us this year. That's why we are delighted to be working with the Church of England on the first ever National Christingle. It will be streamed live on Facebook and YouTube on the 13th of December, bringing people together from across the country to share the light of Christingle. Make sure you register your interest in attending the National Christingle event.
Well, good morning, St. Matthew's. Good to have you all worshipping here with us this morning on what is the first Sunday of Advent. I hope all the gremlins from last week have been done away with. The squirrel damage has been repaired. And so we have a signal enough to be able to live stream today on both YouTube and Facebook. How exciting is that? So we have our Advent wreath, I'm delighted to say, and our opening words. If you're new, you'll see the words come up on the screen. You please say the words in yellow. I say the words in white. And we begin with an opening welcome and prayer for our Advent wreath. So if the words would come up on the screen, thank you. Let's say these together. Gracious God, as the Advent season begins, we come to you looking for hope. With many things different this year, some will struggle. Loving God, remind us that our constant hope is in you, and be with us on our journey through Advent. Amen. So I'm going to light. I'm not relying on matches this year. I've learned. So that is the first candle on our Advent wreath lit. And I will just say, may the light and love of Christ be with you and also with you. Thank you. So as we follow our Advent theme through of light, we are going to sing, but we need our pianist in place, running from the back. He might even come across the picture. Oh, I hope he might run through the picture as well, but he's not. We are going to, you could stand if you wanted to, as we sing together. Longing for light, we wait in darkness.
Thank you.
We are going to now turn to our prayer of confession, a confession reflecting our Advent theme. So let us pray. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. We hold some moments of quiet for our own personal reflection. And so we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you, against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and his peace, now and forever. Amen. Our reading, our gospel reading indeed, is this morning read by Judith Jones. Thank you so much, Judith.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for their Lord." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you,
praise
O Christ.
To you, O Christ. May these words lead us to your living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do you remember what it was like 8 months ago? Life was more uncertain than any of us had ever known, and the reaction of many was not surprisingly to be frightened. And a popular Christian response was to adopt the adage, "Choose faith over fear," which still stands in these almost post-second lockdown but pre-vaccine days. So for the Sundays in Lent, when we're not enjoying what I'm expecting will be a spectacular nativity play on the 13th of December, we are going to be thinking about faith, not fear. And this is because in the three, as they're called, angelophanies, that's a very posh name for appearances of angels, these angelophanies that came to characters in the story leading up to the birth of Jesus, In each of those, the angel says, "Do not be afraid." And then, as we all know, later on in the birth of Jesus' story, all the crowd of angels come along and say to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid." But this morning, we're looking at Zechariah, who heard these words from the lips of Gabriel himself. The story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, given to us by Luke, is a masterpiece in storytelling. From the beginning of our reading, time is telescoped by first locating it in the reign of Herod, but then going back to give the antecedents of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were both from priestly families. And they're each described as righteous and blameless. And there's a sense of really sort of weighty lineage as their families over the centuries, and now they themselves continue to fully participate in God's covenant. But then we get to the nub of this particular story. They are childless and now too old to have children. Once again, then, the time is telescoped as we're put in mind of a long line of previous childless couples, of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel, and Elkanah and Hannah. In fact, there are great similarities between the story of Hannah and Mary, and both of these are particular real focuses for Jewish piety. Both stories take place in the temple. And here, Zechariah is indeed carrying out his priestly function. But for him, it's a real red-letter day. For the important task of lighting the incense in the temple is given to a group of priests, and then that particular job falls by lot to one priest, and this time it's Zechariah. So this was for him the pinnacle of priestly service. And Zechariah was to act alone in the temple while he could hear the crowds outside waiting and praying. Imagine how Zechariah must have felt. This was what all his years of faithful training and service had led to. Surely he was rather nervous, excited, and honored. But he's startled by the appearance of an angel. And it's none other than the angel Gabriel. The only previous reported appearance of Gabriel so far in Scripture is in the book of Daniel, in Daniel 10. And then we have the first piece of dialogue in the Gospel, and it is this, you can see it, "Do not be afraid." Luke has been careful to give us background so as to set the story in its historical context. But now we are in no doubt of what the present instruction is. It's clear. Do not be afraid, because your prayer has been answered. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, over so many years, would have been praying for two major things: a child for themselves and a Messiah to rescue the people of God. They must have prayed and prayed and waited and waited. Perhaps they'd come to accept that it was not God's will that they should have a child, or that they would see in their lifetime the promised Messiah. Had they given up hope while still going through the motions of petitioning in prayer for both events? And then what happens is almost laughable. Gabriel has come to visit Zechariah to tell him of great joy coming, a son to be born, and even his name is already given. It's to be John. Gabriel promises that John will become great in the Lord's sight, and he will prepare the way for the one who is to come. And how does Zechariah react? Does he say, "Lord, that is fantastic"? Does he fall down on his knees and say, "This is what we've been praying for years, and in your time you've answered our prayers as you promise you will do. So thank you, Lord"? Had all Zechariah's prayers and faithful life prepared him for having his prayer answered? No. Here is a priest not expecting his prayers to be answered. Here is a priest in the sanctuary, not expecting to experience God's presence. As one commentator says, in this angelic encounter, we are witnesses to a scene filled with numerous, numinous wonder, divine purpose and the promise of joy and peace. But it's brought splendidly down to earth. Zechariah protests, "I am an old man." And the angel responds, "I am Gabriel." And to reinforce this inequality in power, and perhaps Gabriel's unhappiness at Zechariah's doubting reaction, he strikes Zechariah dumb until after the birth of his son. And this is a stroke of storytelling genius by Luke, because it means that the next words Zechariah utters are the words, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." They're the opening words of what we now call the Benedictus, Luke 1, verse 67, which is still recited daily in church services. This is a song of Zechariah, and after John has been born, and it emphasizes the dawning of the messianic age, which John's birth brought. And it's reflected too in our Advent prayer of thanksgiving, expressing this longing and this waiting too. We thank God that in your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. For a childless couple and a nation waiting on a promise. Perhaps this nation waiting on a promise of vaccine. Reading around this subject this week, I read one commentator who wrote this: "Fear has an uncanny ability to drag us off into an awful imaginary future where everything turns out terrible." Say that again. Fear has an uncanny ability to drag us off into an awful imaginary future where everything turns out terrible. That's why Gabriel's instruction to Zechariah is important. Do not be afraid, because God has heard your prayer. Not only your petition for a child, but the petitions of the Israelites over the centuries, and more recently during military occupation by Greeks and then Romans. Gabriel's instruction is telling Zechariah that things are going to get better. "We're coming to the end of the waiting," is what Gabriel is saying. Israel's plight of waiting for a rescuer or savior is paralleled by the longing for parenthood experienced by Zechariah and Elizabeth. The waiting for both had been so prolonged that hope was beginning to seem futile. But here is a call for the renewing of hope and a challenge for the despairing. God is not abandoning Israel in this new thing, but fulfilling his promises. Zechariah and Elizabeth are in a place of liminality between two worlds. They're on the cusp of something new and much longed for. But with the recent past, that longing and that disappointment still an ever-present reality. The same can be said for the people of the promise, the people of Israel. But to see this requires openness and the ability to welcome new possibility rather than to fear danger. The future is not awful, but awe-filled. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is on his way. Do not be afraid. Let us not be afraid as this pandemic plays out. Believe that our prayers too will be answered for a vaccine and good health and a happier Christmas than we may have imagined. There is no guarantee that it will all happen as we would wish in the timescales we would like. Faith is not like that. But Zechariah's story gives us hope and a reason not to be afraid this Advent. Amen. We are now going to turn to prayer, and I'm delighted that Janice Price, who is our ordinand on placement, is going to lead us in our intercessions. Thank you, Janice.
Let us pray. When I say the words, Lord, take away fear, would you respond with, may we trust in you? Lord, take away fear. May we trust in you. On this Advent Sunday, we thank you, Lord, that we can pray, do not be afraid, in the hope and knowledge that your presence is with us. Lord, we wait for the end of coronavirus. We give thanks for the emergence of new vaccines, and we pray for the continuing development of vaccination programs. And we pray for all who live in fear of the virus. Lord, give them your peace and strength. Lord, take away fear. May we trust in you. We pray for our churches, that in Advent and Christmas, we may proclaim the message of love, hope, and peace. We pray for Helen and others at St. Matthew's who are preparing and working hard to in this season of Advent and towards the season of Christmas. May they be given wisdom and strength. Lord, take away our fear. May we trust in you. Lord, we wait and we long for the end of violence in our world. We pray for all who live in fear of violence in situations of war and conflict across the world, in homes and through prejudice and hatred. And we pray for those who are victims of violence. And we pray too for those who minister to people who are both victims and perpetrators, that they may bring God's justice, healing, and restoration. Lord, take away fear. May we trust in you. Lord, we pray for healing for those we know who are sick at this time. And in a moment of silence, we remember those we know. Give them peace, O Lord, whatever their situation. And we commend to you, O Lord, those who have passed from this life into your greater glory, where there is no fear. Lord, take away fear. May we trust in you. Lord, as we wait for the coming of your kingdom, may we keep our hearts directed towards you. May we prepare for the coming of your kingdom in our lives and in our communities. And may we know peace and trust and love amongst us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Continuing our prayers, may we pray particularly for those on our notice sheet. We pray for Carol Bainbridge, for Miles Stewart Williams, for Paul Atkins and David Itkovitz, and also for Jeff Akerman, who is in Kingston Hospital and went in since the production of the sheet. Almighty God, we pray for each of them and others known to us, that they will be able to put themselves in the hands and in the skill and experience of doctors, of surgeons, of nurses and other care staff, and that they will be able to put their trust in them, but particularly their trust in you, and they will not be afraid. Amen. So we come to our notices, and there are a few. Just to say that since the national lockdown is ending on Wednesday, isn't it? First thing Wednesday, we expect to return to our previous system of services, which means that we are back having a Holy Communion service at 9 o'clock, and that we will then have another service at 10:30, in which our children's groups will be working. Obviously, they are working subject to various restrictions and number restrictions and what they can do, and it's all a bit different. But we have run it once and it worked well. So we hope that you will feel confident about returning to church next week. We will, of course, though, continue to live stream both services. So if you prefer to watch them in your gym jams eating your breakfast, then that's all right. It will be good to have you join us whenever you do and however you do. We all worship God together. A couple of other notices just to say our Posada is happening. Last week I showed you this was my attempt at producing Mary and Joseph and Bonky the Donkey. This is Mary and Joseph travelling around the parish, staying at a different house each night. We can't have the knitted characters that we would normally have. Instead, you make your own Mary and Joseph out of either the templates from the website or nativity figures or whatever you have, dolls, whatever, and that you contact the people who had the dolls the night before and had Mary and Joseph in the house, in their house the next day, and that you get in contact with them to have some sort of limited hospitality. So please, you can sign up on the website, and front page of the website will give you the link through. There are a number of nights when there is nowhere for Mary and Joseph to stay, and so we would like to make sure they're not roaming around Surbiton without a warm roof over their heads. So please do sign up for the Posada. A couple of other things I just wanted to mention. We are sending out our Christmas leaflets as we have done before, so they will be ready for collection next Sunday if you're coming to church. If you're not, we will get in touch with you about how you can pick them up. But we do need some more deliverers this year, please. A couple of people have had to stand back. We've got 2,500 to deliver over the parish. It's more important than ever, I think, this year that people get the message that church is happening, that they can join it from their living rooms. And so please, if you're able to deliver this year, please do send me an email. I'd really like to be inundated by offers in the next few days, and that will mean that logistics will be much easier. And if you're in volunteering mood, we need to get the rotors back up, so we will need everybody, probably everybody, to offer to do some jobs over the Christmas services and leading up to that. Please have a look to sign up through our website. And finally, volunteering, I need readers, please, for our two carol services. We're doing 2, 4 o'clock and 6:30 on Sunday, the 20th of December. And I would love some volunteers of people who would like to read that service. So again, please let me know. Thank you so much. I think they had better be, or other than to say, we are currently in a period of 24 hours of prayer for the Royal Borough of Kingston. Churches in Kingston and surround of the Borough of Kingston are praying. So a prayer started at 6:30 last night. It's carrying on until 6 o'clock tonight. Please, if you can, carve out a couple of minutes to pray for Kingston, the challenges it faces, and for safety, and for transition into next year as well. So I'd commend that to you over this 24-hour period. Thank you. I'm delighted that to prepare us to come to the communion table, we have another anthem from the choir. So sit back and enjoy the Angel Gabriel.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame, all hands.
Thank you so much to our choir for keeping musical offerings going in this lockdown. I should say there were at least one more voice than face that you heard. So thank you to all the choir. We're now going to share the peace with one another. In the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high shall break upon us to give light to those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Let us offer peace to one another, maybe a virtual wave, or offering peace to anyone you're sharing the household with. The peace of God be with you. Good to think that we will be able to do it in person next week. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people and bring us in your loving arms, and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We come now to our prayer of spiritual communion. Come, Lord Jesus, dwell in me and send your Holy Spirit, that I may be filled with your presence. As the hem of your garment touched in faith healed the woman in the gospel, so may I be healed. Although I cannot receive you in the sacrament, I can, through this offering of my prayer, receive you in my heart. Grant this for Christ's sake. Amen. We say this prayer together. O Lord, our God, make us watchful and keep us faithful as we await the coming of your Son, our Lord, that when he shall appear, he may not find us sleeping in sin, but active in his service and joyful in his praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'm glad that you can see that we have got our Mary and Joseph and Bonky the donkey out, and we wish them well on their travels around the parish this year. Advent Sunday wouldn't really be Advent Sunday, would it, unless we sang that very traditional Advent carol, O come, Emmanuel. We sing, well, you sing at home, we sing together. Well, what a corker of a last verse that was. We come now to our final prayer of blessing, and I meant to include in our prayers earlier Jason Pennington's dad. Jason should have been here, but he's not been able to for his dad. So we include in our prayers for those who are suffering at this time, him as well as many others. So our final prayer of blessing. Christ, who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly, fill you with peace and goodwill, and make you partakers of the divine nature. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.